This is Wonkyfied, the show helping you make sense of a world that has stopped making sense. Hello again, everyone. I hope you're doing well, and thank you for being a part of another episode of Wonkyfied. It's been exciting having this journey with you and just learning more about you and hearing from all of you. And I thought it'd be a good time, as I see what's going on out there in the world and what's going on in my own life and hearing from all of you, I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about, to start a series called Disoriented, where we are looking at what happens when we feel out of place. We feel like God has put us in a position that is unnatural and weird and just not who we are. And I know, you know, we go through good times, we go through bad times, and sometimes there are struggles, and we don't know where to turn and what to do. And that's, but this is a little different. I'm talking about something even a little more. The fancy term is existential, where we tend to look at why we're here, the purpose of our existence, and what God can do, and what God's telling us about those moments. So my plan is to make this a four-part series, and this is going to be the introductory part where we're just going to talk about what I went through in life and some of the things that were not bad moments, just let me feel a little odd. And then we're going to look at some examples in the next two episodes where we see biblical figures and how they dealt with this and how God changed their lives when they had a sense of disorientation. We just wrap it all up with a conversation about where it takes us and why God, it sometimes makes us feel disoriented. It makes us feel like we're out of place in this world, which in the long run is kind of where we need to be. But we'll talk more about this. So let's kind of get into it. Disoriented. Let's define that term, okay? Having lost Having lost one's sense of time, place, or identity. Put it in layman's terms, English, we struggle with where we are, when we are, and consequently, and sometimes most importantly, who we are. The world is no longer making sense. It ceases to be what we thought it was. And so, as one of my favorite terms comes into play here, discombobulated. We feel discombobulated. I love that term. What does it mean? Just means we're not bobulated, or we're not combobulated. So we may talk more about that in future episodes. So a few more terms for that: confused, frustrated, rudderless, and lost. Have you ever felt like this? Do you feel like this right now? These are the we seek to answer those questions and help those who felt that way, but also get a better sense of how to deal with this, how to work through it, but also how it, most importantly, and this is critical to any episode of Wonkyfied or anything I write about or blog about or whatever, we want to talk about why it's part of God's plan and how, even though it being disoriented doesn't make sense to us, that way we can start to make sense of it. So that's where we're headed. That's the journey we're going to take. 2020 was a tough year. We are now, just so you know, we're recording right now in 2021. It's hard to not feel a little out of sorts, to coin my old meme, after 2020. But, you know, it's important to also know that we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. Disorientation is very much part of the human condition, and it's part of our history. This is just merely our time at bat. It's a big part of movies. It's a huge trope in fictional literature and movies. I'm thinking of like the Jason Bourne books and the movies. Perfect example, you know, Matt Damon. The protagonist winds up in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and he's unconscious, and then he gets retrieved by a fishing boat, and he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who he is. Do you ever feel like Jason Bourne? Do you have your Jason Bourne moments? It'd be really great if you were having your Jason Bourne moments and someone came up to you and was trying to give you trouble, if you were just able to, you know, do a Jason Bourne on them and give them a roundhouse kick to the face or something just to deal with our problems like that. But we don't have those problems. We don't have those solutions. Also, the good thing is we normally don't end up in the middle of the Indian Ocean unconscious and with amnesia. But sometimes disorientation feels like that. Sometimes the disorientation or confusion can be temporary. We had a winter storm in this past month in our house, and so we lost electricity like the rest of the state, like the rest of Texas. It's a bit disoriented, trying to feel your way around and trying to figure out what to do with no heat or light or, and no internet either. You know, that was probably the worst thing. But, you know, that's short term. And that doesn't really challenge our faith. Well, if it goes long enough, it could challenge our faith, among other things. So just to be fair, a lot of people went through difficult times. But the truly disoriented moments or phases, they can last longer. And you begin to become disillusioned with your faith, perhaps your church, job, people or life, or just life in general. You can become disillusioned with God. And so what I'm going to be working through is my personal struggles with time, place, and identity, and yours as well. And one of those moments is being a parent, right? Our oldest is Alec. He's in college now. And I probably felt one of my most disoriented moments when we brought Alec home from the hospital. And, you know, you always, as a parent, you have those details down, right? This may shock you, though, even though I remember every day, every moment of that day, to the T, to the letter, I was a wee bit nervous about this whole parenting enterprise. The whole process scared me. Holding the baby, fixing the car seat. I don't know if any of you parents have ever gone, okay, is this thing strapped in? Is the baby going to come flying if I have to hit the brakes? You know, putting him in the car seat. These all scared me and frightened me. Even putting him in the high chair. I'm like, okay, am I doing this right? Because I remember once my brother, when I was a kid, he did a nosedive out of the high chair. So I didn't want that to happen with me. Got nervous when I fed him, but Alec, that is, you know, make sure he wasn't choking. And then, I'll be honest, just toting the note, paying for the cost of a baby, the money, everything involved with that, and just knowing that we can still get by and provide for him what he needs to be provided for. So here's how that day kind of went down, and I'll talk more about this in the next episode, but and kind of get some more details since we're just kind of at the early phases. Two nurses bring my wife Lee down in a wheelchair, and she's holding Alec. You know, and I'm never going to forget that interaction because one of the nurses reaches down, takes Alec out of Lee's hand, which is Lee's request, hands me the baby, and then we help Lee up, and the two nurses look at me and mutter, "Good luck," in my general direction, and poof, they are through the other side of the sliding door, back in the hospital, grinning and chuckling, because I have a clueless look on my face. You know, all I've done to this point is bring the car around while they're bringing Lee and Cole, Alec down. Almost said Cole. That's my younger son. We'll talk a lot about him too. He can be disorienting. So I struggle loading Alec into the seat, and then I get into the car and planning to drive away. It's a very short trip from the hospital to our house, and there's some neighborhoods we can take, so you know, I'm going to be very careful. And I'm very focused on me and just doing everything right? And I'm in the driver's seat, and I look over to my right because I'm going to tell Lee we're ready to go. And Lee is bawling, like a whimpering cry. Do you remember when you were a little kid and you would try to talk like this to your mom because you were so upset, or you'd just gotten I don't know if people still get spankings, but you were not happy. That's how she was crying. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought maybe this was, you know, part of hormones of having a baby and whatnot, but I decided to be sensitive and just ask. And so this is how the conversation goes. This is me. Is everything okay? Lee, we only had him for 18 years. That was it. Those words hit me between the eyes. This is what I was doing. I was freaking out because my world was changing. I was oriented towards me, my issues, my concerns, my feelings, what have you. Marriage kind of changed that, as those of you who are married will know. But nothing like parenting takes that away. And then this was God telling me, through Lee's words, to put my selfish ways to the side and embrace this blessing. And stop fretting over the burden. Don't we do that too often in our lives? We focus too much on the burden of the everyday, and we don't realize the blessings of everyday. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. So those 18 years that Lee was talking about, they're over now. Alec, as I mentioned, headed off to college last year, like thousands of 18-year-olds, head to the dorms annually. But that rite of passage challenged not only his identity and sense of self, but also our entire family unit. Who was I as a father? Lee? What was her new role? Even his brother, Cole, the future world ruler, struggled with Big Brother's absence. It's a weird time. Very disorienting. Mom was not the only one shedding tears that day. You know, if such a product existed, I would relive days when my boys were little. When I raised Alec down the hallway, batting practice, watching movies. Those are great times. When they accepted Jesus, taking him to school. The exact moment they said one of their many hilarious comments, said something made me laugh. And this product might come with like a special moments package, but I would just love to relive one day. You know, that would be awesome. But now's the time to let go. Lee and I realize it's a time to let go and take the first step towards greater blessings for Alec. Sometimes that worldly confusion, that worldly disorientation yields eternal blessings. So join the Wonkified podcast as we discuss how being disoriented only leads to greater blessings from God. And so take a moment, relax, and then we can dive to the second episode. Thank you for joining me for this episode, though. This is Dr. Rob Sullivan, thanking you for joining us for this episode of Wonkify. Join us next time as we again try to make sense of a world that stopped making sense.